Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dragons do not do well in captivity.
How do you know this?
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things. Now.
My god has been given a second chance.
On the Damon Bruce Show.
There will not be a third.
It's post-game.
The real war is between the living and the dead.
Of Thrones.
And make no mistake. The dead are coming.
By the way, we'll start with breaking news. And pardon me, I was wrong. After declaring she would do zero nudity going forward after about season two or three because she didn't want to be known as for her boobs, not her right. acting prowess, Emilia Clarke, said that last night's scene carried so much gravitas at the end, she did do it.
So it was her.
That was her.
Okay, so now my husband's happy again.
Her milkshake did bring all the Dothraki to the yard, and we'll get that in just a second. Game of Thrones episode 4 was called Book of the Stranger. We open at Castle Black, Gianna, where Jon Snow is still there, even though he walked out of Castle Black saying my watch has ended at the end of last episode.
That can't happen.
And we get what is the first on-screen pairing maybe ever between Sansa and Jon Snow. I don't know if they've ever been on the screen at the same time together at any point in time in the entire series.
Oh, this was the first reunion of Stark children.
It's
such a big deal.
It's the first time two Starks have been in the same scene since at least season 3 or 4.
At least.
So we have Sansa, Brienne, Podrick. They're now with the Red Woman, the Onion Knight, and the Wildings, and we can see their storyline is about to be thrown directly at Winterfell. Even though Jon Snow is tired of fighting, Sansa wants her home back, and Jon Snow needs some convincing, and later in the episode would get some when Ramsay Bolton, the new Warden of the North, sends them the most threatening letter of all time, saying that he's got Rincon in the dungeon, and it looks like it's going to officially be on in the North, like the Toronto Raptors.
Well, they want their home back. But you know what's interesting about this whole episode storyline is all the women now are, like, ready for war.
Yes.
They're ready. It's like, the men are still hesitant, except for Ramsay Bolton, of course.
He's right.
Cray-cray. But Jon Snow doesn't want to go to war, but Sansa's like, this is our home. We're good. I mean, she's
right.
She's ready.
Lancel's about to break in the dungeon.
Yes.
And Margaery's holding strong. Anyways, Brienne finally meets the Red Woman. She's still upset about the whole blood magic thing.
Mm-hmm.
She admits to executing Stannis, and that had been like an off-the-screen kill, so I didn't know if maybe his storyline was still open. Obviously, it's not. He's dead. We know that now. Peter Baelish is back in this episode. So is creepy John Arryn. He quickly threatens Lord Royce, the guy who's been babysitting the young milk drinker, let's just call him. Looks like Baelish is going to be assembling an army of the Kings of the Vale. The Knights of the Vale are going to be marching with him north. The time has come to join the fray was his big line in the episode. So it looks like we're about to see them maybe provide another army for Jon Snow and Sansa to deal with the Wildings to go and really attack Winterfell. We'll see what happens.
And I think that's what they mean to do, because he even said, she's my cousin. We should stand with her.
That's right.
So
that's right. We go to Meereen, where Tyrion, Varys, Grey Worm, and Sexy Translator are meeting the Masters. They're trying to reach peace through diplomacy. Slavery, its place in history, its place in the cities is being debated. 7 years to end the practice of slavery. That's what Tyrion decides to come up with. It's compensation. He says they need a new system in exchange. They must cut off support for the Sons of the Harpies and stop all the violence and the uprising. Grey Worm warns him, you know, you can't use the Masters. They use you. That's what they've been doing for thousands of years. It was a great scene.
Yeah.
It was a great look. When Tyrion has the floor, it's as good as the series gets.
And you get a lot of politics in it. You know, there's some diplomacy. There's some negotiation happening. So I kind of appreciate what he brings to the table.
And can I just say, Peter Dinklage,
he's so good,
has so inhibited the role of Tyrion Lannister. It's official. There's no other person in the planet that could have played him as good as he's playing him.
No way.
You know, and I understand he's a little person, dwarf, whatever the word is, the little, you know, he's He's a little person.
Yeah.
And that's what the role calls for. But beyond that.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm sure there's a lot of little people who auditioned. They could not have. This is the best single casting since Marlon Brando as Don Corleone. That's how good he is in this role.
If I saw him in person, I wouldn't even call him Peter. I'd have to call him Tyrion because he's that good.
He embodies the character. He really does. All right. We move back across the narrow seas. We've got Dario Naharis and Jorin the Andal looking for the Mother of Dragons. They're looking for Khaleesi. They enter the Dothraki town. They strip themselves of their own weapons because that right there would get you killed if you bring a weapon into Dothrakiville. Which, by the way, Jimmy Buffett's Wasting Away Again in Dothrakiville is a bad song. Let's see. So Dario, of course, brings his lucky dagger anyways. And it's a good thing that he did because he ends up killing one of the two guys that they run into. There was kind of a funny moment in that fight where Jorah threw sand up, like trying to like blind the guy. Missed him. It's a good thing that Dario Naharis had his back there. Because they stabbed the guy, they need to mutilate the body with a rock. Like, they won't even notice the stab wound if we bash his head in. So that happens. It happens off camera.
But somebody still dies.
Someone still dies.
I don't know.
But two people died.
That's true.
So they run, and luckily, they catch Khaleesi on a pee break, which is
literally
great coincidence. She's making friends with another Khal widow inside the temple of the Dosh Kalin. The guys want to boogie and leave. The Mother of Dragon is like, no, I got this. And we'll get back to her in just a second.
She has a plan.
She's got a plan.
The best scenes of the season so far.
We then see Queen Marjorie. Queen Marjorie is getting a lecture from the High Sparrow. He's going full monologue on her. She then goes sees Loras, who is about to break. It's her brother, who's the knight, who's also imprisoned with her. Marjorie's harder than we expect. Marjorie goes in there talking a hard game. Loras is at the, he's like, I can't do it. Just make it end. Just make it end. Just make it end. He's ready to give up the goods. Marjorie's ready to fight. Cersei is talking with Tommen about it. They throw old Maester Pyzel out of the room because he is basically advising, be calm. She wants a war, obviously. She grabs Jaime. They walk into talk to a Grandma Tyrell, who is basically, they tell her, like, look, we know you hate us, but your daughter, your granddaughter, is about to take the Walk of Atonement.
Right.
Do you want that to happen? And she's like, absolutely not.
Well, she's the queen. That can't happen.
Right. So Grandma, who's crafty as a fox, is like, is obviously the holy war that we've been talking about is coming to King's Landing.
It's on.
Many will die no matter what we do. Better them than us, says the old bird. She's good. She's a great character.
She's one of my favorites.
Theon is back at Pike. He met his sister who tried to rescue him, but since he was broken, she's got no respect for him anymore. And he just so happens to show up like the day after his father was killed. So she thinks that he's there to take the throne. He's not. And he basically says, I'm going to pass up my birthright and I will support you, sister, to be the next ruler of Pike.
Yeah.
We'll see this happen. There's not a lot left of Theon, to be honest with you.
He can't rule.
No.
At all. He doesn't have the nose for it.
Right. The sister's a badass. The women are really emerging in this as the, like, pivotal.
They are.
Storylines in terms of being the aggressors. We then go to what I like to call is the harbinger guarantee of someone's about to die. Whenever a scene begins with Ramsay peeling an apple.
If there's a knife or a weapon in the vicinity, good luck with that.
It's not going to end well for whoever walks into that scene. And in walks Wilding Babysitter. She comes in. She tries to seduce him. She's thinking about grabbing that knife and murdering him. And right before any of that happens, Ramsay tells her that when he was breaking down Theon and cutting off his bratwurst, he said everything. And that she actually helped the boys escape, the Stark boys escape. And so he puts a knife in her neck and kills her right there.
But I think she knew she was going to die because she tried so hard to grab a knife in the whole process. Like, I think she knew this was it for her.
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, how is she going to get out of that one?
She thought that was going to be her one shot at it. I have no idea. Were they sent there to be assassins? Did it just go awry? Either way.
It sucked for her.
Ramsay Bolton is not fooling around. Okay. We end the episode at the Temple of the Dosh Kalin.
It's the best episode.
Daenerys is there. The Dothraki men are considering what to do with her. she gives the speech that basically says, I'm in charge here.
Well, they say all these horrible things that they're going to do to her.
Right.
And then she's like, oh, yeah, no.
No, none of that's going to happen. None of you are worthy enough to lead the Dothraki. It was here on this altar that my ex-husband, Khal Drogo, said that we were going to have the stallion that mounts the world. And even though things haven't worked out verbatim,
right,
that could still happen. And she goes over to the cauldrons of fire, pushes them over, and burns the entire temple down with all the men and her trapped inside it. But since she is the mother of dragons, the unburnt, she doesn't have a scratch on her. She is basically made of asbestos. And she walks out to the entire Dothraki population, clothes burnt off her. We have just learned her real naked body. Thumbs up, Emilia Clarke. And there you go.
And they all bow down to her.
They all bow down to her. She's like a goddess.
Yeah. Well, she walked away from fire.
She just walked out of a 6-alarm fire like it was nothing. Her hair hadn't even been singed. Nobody builds an army like Khaleesi. Mm-mm. This is like the third different army this woman has put together in 6 seasons.
So at some point, we're going to have to see this army travel across the ocean to King's Landing, because that's the whole point, right?
I guess so.
So this is going to all kind of, I think, mesh together at some point. But then the whole Jon Snow thing, because I wish they would have kind of addressed what happened with Bran in last episode,
well,
this episode.
I think we're going to get that. So the Bran storyline was not addressed in this episode. We had no Arya in it whatsoever. We haven't seen a White Walker yet this year. We haven't seen a dragon do anything but get his neck shackle taken off of it.
True.
So there's a lot more coming up. But I'll tell you what, this was a very strong episode. It was the strongest episode of the season by far.
A lot of setup for, I think, what the next four, is it 8 episodes this season, right?
Is it? I don't know.
I think so. I'll have to look that up. Don't quote me on that. But I think it's set up like the next few episodes of what's going to happen, like the big stuff going to go, you know.
I want a lot of these setups to pay off, and I think they will soon. This was a good harbinger of things to come. It was a good episode. I hope you enjoyed post Game of Thrones.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.